Well, are you ready for the word? Hold your Bible up. I got back to remembering what Casey Treat used to have us do. Let's say this together. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is written to me.
For God to speak to me.
I will obey it.
I will
live it.
And
I thank you, Lord, for it.
You
watch
over
this word
to
perform it in my life. And I thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've been teaching on Sunday mornings how to succeed in life naturally and spiritually. There's a lot of believers who come into the kingdom of God, but it seemingly doesn't seem that they're succeeding even though they've been brought into the kingdom of God. And when God brings you into His kingdom, He expects you to succeed, not only in the natural, but also spiritually. Amen. And so we've been putting the emphasis on the fact that in order for you to succeed in the natural, you have to succeed, first of all, spiritually. And see, this is a part that's not emphasized or promoted enough in the kingdom of God, is spiritual maturity. It is important that all of us grow up spiritually. That is so key to the kingdom of God, because if you grow up spiritually, you are a tremendous witness or testimony to those that are without. Praise God. Now, there is such a thing as doing witnessing, but God never called us to do witnessing. He called us to be a witness, therefore we do witness.
Right.
Amen? And so, the importance is to grow up spiritually. That is a vision of our church. Our main thrust is spiritual development. That's what God laid upon my heart. Hasn't changed it yet. Hasn't moved me out yet. The difficulty is getting people to hear the Word of God and to perform it. If you're just hearing it and not performing it, then the Bible is very clear, you're self-deceived. But if you hear the Word of God and then perform the Word of God, then you will not be one who is in deception. And so I'm trusting and believing that all of us will perform the Word of God as the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to us. Amen. So we brought out several points that we've been covering. Number one, the Holy Spirit has to be every believer's mentor, because that deals with the inward anointing that all of us have. Number two, we brought out the fact that God starts by developing a new way of life within us. And we covered that area. Number three, there is a place called self-examination of our heart. This is where the Bible is very clear. I think it's in 2 Peter where it tells us, if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the unbeliever be? And he's not referring to salvation there. He's referring to judgment. If the church doesn't know how to judge itself, then where will our judgment be with the unbeliever or those that are without? He wasn't referring to salvation there. If the righteous scarcely are saved, he was referring to if the righteous are scarcely brought to judgment within the house of God, then how is those without the house of God going to be judged? You see, one thing about judging the world, you got to realize that your example of the kingdom of God first before you bring judgment on the world, praise God, or they'll turn and render it with you. That's casting your pearl before the swine. Of course, swine would be an unbeliever. And he's saying, if you're going to go ahead and judge the unbeliever, make sure that your act has already been taken care of or judged within you, so that they can't turn and rend you with the same thing that you're judging them for if it's in your life.
Amen?
Amen. Then we've been bringing out knowing how to walk before men and God. To develop relationships is predicated on character development. One of the things that will cause all of us to lose out in natural life, is that we don't have the character to succeed with. You know, and God wants us to be successful with people. We have to develop our character, our nature, to be successful with people. And if you learn how to do that, you can go a long way in natural life, as well as going a long way spiritually. But you can go a long way with mankind in the natural if your character is developed properly. It's so true. You know, you can take a person off the street and you can clean them up and you can give them the things that they need. You can put a brand new suit on them, you know, and help them as much as you can. But if you don't do something about training that person's inward being, if you don't get him to start thinking differently, you see, it's not outward what you wear makes you. It's inwardly that is very critical to your success. And if you don't make a change inwardly, then no matter what you do on the outside, you'll still fail. You'll find the same person that you've cleaned out, that you've helped, you've done all that you can to do to help them, you'll find them back in the street. Because the first thing that they're faced with is their negative thinking again. You know, and the things that they've been doing to bring them to the street, if that's not changing, then they'll go right back to that place. You know what I mean? And so you have to be developed in character. Point number five is where we're at now, to understand authority and live within its perimeters. This is a very difficult portion of this kind of teaching, but we have to understand it. And then, of course, point number six is, as you prepare for natural retirement, then death, you must prepare for eternal life spiritually. And you need to leave a legacy of that which is eternal with your friends, your family, your church, everyone you come in contact with. In your death, or if you're not raptured or resurrected, you should leave a spiritual legacy for them. You see, that's that spiritual side of you that is very important to your family and your friends and your relatives and your church. You know, you have to be established as a true man or woman of God. And that is your eternal legacy. You know, my grandma and grandpa, you know, we weren't raised as a family that went to church. But my grandma and grandpa kept that church heritage in our family, especially by their prayers. And I can remember to this day the respect that I had for my grandparents, because they knew how to pray. They knew how to talk to God. And you know, I'll never forget at their funeral, I'll never forget my pastor back then. He looked at us and he says, they carried the family in prayer. Now who's going to take their place? Who's going to take their place? You know, and I felt that challenge on my heart, you know. And my Uncle Bob, my grandparents' son, my Uncle Bob, I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said that this family is going to succeed. It will be predicated on your walk with God. You know, and of course, Bob and I, we had a lot of conflict earlier in our walk with the Lord, and he wouldn't accept Christianity all that well. I can remember when I was about 12 years old and him calling a priest to the home because he had all these difficult questions written down. I had the list for a long time, but it's been so long ago, I don't know where the list is, but I remember one of the questions. Why? Why didn't God do something about the devil? And I can't remember any of the other questions because I was so young. But I never forget that minister when he came to the door over on Pacific Avenue, knocked on that door, and I answered it, and here's this man in the cloth, you know. And he came in, and I remember my Uncle Bob questioning him before my grandparents, his mom and dad, and I remember that priest couldn't even answer him. And I got to thinking, how sad, when you're a man of the cloth, you should be able to give an answer by reason of them wanting to know. And I knew it was a real letdown for my Uncle Bob, you know, and it possibly could have been his destiny eternally. And so I think it's very important for all of us to understand how important it is that we leave a legacy of that which is eternal about our life. Amen. And And so let's get to the point number five, second to the last, on the emphasis of this series about succeeding in the natural. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want us to go there. And I want us to talk about authority. Authority. And I think I'm going to clarify a lot of things that will help a lot of you today. But a lot of us don't realize how important it is to understand authority and how to function under it. And when I began to take another look at this in a serious light, is that when I ended up going to Rhema, and they had Keith Moore, one of the requirements was getting under Keith Moore, one of the Bible teachers. Now he has his own church and everything. And he talked about submission to authority. We had him in our church. How many of you remember when Keith Moore was here? And he talked about submission to authority. And I had never heard anything like that before. But it answered a lot of questions why I wasn't getting results out of my own Bible. Is because I didn't respect God's Word as final authority. And there's a mindset that all of us get, not realizing this particular mindset could rob us of the greatest success in the Word of God there is. Now, I want to be very clear about this subject. One thing about understanding your Bible as a written authority left us, you've got to realize the day you knelt down and gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you entered into a whole different realm of authority than you would have remained in living in the natural. Behold, I give you powers to become, or authority to become, the sons of God. And that word for authority there is exousia. I have given you a transfer of authority to become a son of God. And so that stuck with me for years. I never really understood it to the fullness that I do today. And so we're going to look at a situation in Luke chapter 7. Did you guys turn there? In Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at a situation that's very interesting, but very enlightening. And we'll go to verse 1. Luke 7:1. Huh? Luke 7:1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Pretty good guy. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word. Now I'm going to notice something here. This centurion had respect for the kingdom of God. Are you following me? He knew something about respect. Now notice this. And my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man, notice this, set under authority. Set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to thy servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. And notice, healing came because someone knew how to get under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Many of us today, sad to say, out of our culture, we're not submitted to God like we should be. We're not submitted to the Lord like we should be. We don't have respect for Him anymore, even in His Word. Just like I was sharing Wednesday night when I was talking about the four things that are important to understand about the Word of God. If you weren't here, you need to get the tape because you need to get fired up again concerning the Word of God. But one thing I brought out is the fact that one morning, not too long ago, I was struggling with some things and praying to the Lord about them. And He turned to me and He rebuked me and He says, I dare you to call me a liar. Now, He'd never done that to me before, but I asked the Lord why He was so stern with me. And He says, you're a man that should know better than to ask me that question. You know, God will have mercy and grace on you for a long time. But you know, when you develop spiritually, there's a certain amount of responsibility that's due you, not Him. And so I fell back into this trap now, wanting God to do something. And even though I had the Word of God on it, it was the fact that I questioned the fact of the Word of God on it. Are you following what I'm saying? And He says, and I'll tell you what, if you continue that route with God, God's going to say, I don't know what to tell you except what my Word tells me. I've already sent my Word. You know, if you want to know something about it, go ahead and act on it. The authority is in your hand. See, this is where we don't understand about the authority of the kingdom of God. You want to know why? Because we live in a democratic mindset. I hate to say that, but we do. We live in a democratic mindset. What does it mean by a democratic mindset? You know, so you're, what in the world is that about? Listen, this is a challenge that looms before us. Number one, people who live in a democratic nation, America and Europe, are some of the most resistant people to truly hearing the Word of God. Why? Well, you cannot know kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. You know, there was a time period, years ago, there was a time period that churches could abuse people. But you know what? Today, that is not so. Because there's more knowledge of the Word of God that has been released. And if you are spiritually abused, you're the problem, not the churches. There's certainly enough word going out. See, democracy is fine for nations, but listen, God is a kingdom. He is a theocracy. He operates that way. He's a king. He has rank and order with authority. And the laws of theocracy is not subject to popular opinion or voting or polls. See, laws are not swayed by what we believe to be good for us. Democracy, after all, is of the people, by the people, for the people. If this gets into Christianity, there's tremendous problems. Because theocracy in Christianity is of the Lord, by the Lord, for the people. Are you guys following what I'm saying? And one thing about a democratic mindset is that it's very independent in its thinking. It always wants to get the consensus of the majority of the listeners so that he can validate or can validate that mindset, and it has nothing to do with truth or what truth is. It's what the popular opinion believes. Are you following me? See, you get that kind of mindset within the church framework, and I'm going to tell you something right now. The first thing that a rebellious, demonic, democratic mindset is, don't you judge me. Well, if God can't judge you, then and you won't allow anybody to judge you, you're without counsel, and you're a hopeless case. There are times when judgment is pure and good. There is safety in the multitude of counselors. Nowadays, if you try, even within the framework of our tribe, if you try to judge people and you know they won't receive it, you know what the first thing they say is, well, if you judge me, I'm just going down the road. That's that democracy, that mindset of rebellion. Just go on down the road. You can't bring people to correction because you want them to live in integrity. You have to pacify them and back off and leave them alone. And hope God works with them. But that is not the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear that some people have to be judged by the church. There are some people that have to be judged by the counsel of others. Because they're too stupid to get judgment going in themselves. But don't judge me, brother. You know what? God came not to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. How many of you know that? But he doesn't say that about Christians. If that's the case, then sin doesn't need to be judged. And sometimes sin has to be judged in believers' lives. I'm not talking about unbelievers. An unbeliever will always try to force you to put them in judgment. I just had that happen to me not too long ago. There was a couple on my job that started asking me questions about their position before God in judgment. And I turned to him and I says, that's not my place. What do you mean it's not your place? I says, well, everything is done by nature. And I says, people who need judgment, it's because there's a lawlessness working in their heart. I didn't say they had lawless working in their heart. I didn't say none of that. And they looked at me. And I says, everything's done by nature. When you come into the kingdom of God, then you're responsible to come under the authority of the Word of God and do that which is right. But outside of that, I cannot judge you at all. And you know what he said to me? He says, you know something? You screw up my thinking. You want to know why? Because he was trying to force me to bring judgment on him in a situation that he knows nothing about. Are you following me? And you can't run in there in judgment. And they finally, both of them finally told me, well, are we going to hell? And I said, you know something? I says, I'm not in a position to determine whether you're going to go to hell or not. And they said, oh, why? And I says, because. And you know, there's things you can say to people and then afterwards they catch it. And I says, because you're still breathing and the outcome is not hell. And so later on, he came back to me and said, hey, wait a minute. He finally meditated through that thing. Well, then you're implying that I'm not heaven bound? He thought it through, not me. And I turned to him and I says, well, you're the one that came up with that conclusion, not me. You got to leave people hungry. Until they get all what they want to get about what they think out of themselves. And then once they got all that junk out of them, then you can bring judgment on them. But you have to do it in wisdom. Amen? And we're just getting tighter in our relationship. We're getting tighter in our relationship because he gets mad at me because I don't give him blatant answers, but he can't contradict the ones I do give him. That's the way you got to keep them unbelievers in that position, man. They'll work it out somehow. Hallelujah. So I think that's in 1 Peter 4:18 where it says if the righteous are scarcely saved. That is, you got to interpret that in light of the text. It's talking about judgment. Now, are we then free of natural authority? Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 for 1 minute. Are we free from natural authority? You know where authority always breaks down? Here's where authority is always broken down. In authority that has ungodliness working in it. Once that happens, then everything breaks down from that point. And see, this is where a lot of us don't know how to respond to that. A lot of us can agree that we need to submit to authority, but a lot of us don't know how to submit to authority that's ungodly. See, and not all authority is godly authority. But I do want to say this very boldly. The Bible declares that all authority, not those in authority, but all authority has been ordained by God. In other words, that is a principle by which God rules. Now, follow me close. Hebrews chapter 3. And let's look at 5 and 6. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, he made a very powerful statement here. He talked about administration. Administration. He said Moses was faithful as the administrator over his house, but Christ now is faithful as an administrator over his house. And you know what his house is? It's the spirits of just men made perfect. That is his house. You are the temple of God. And I'm talking about your spiritual being and your soul. You are a temple of God, and God dwells there in you. And that is the house he's now over. Now, some Christians want to go back and live in the house of Moses, but we got a problem there. First of all, the house of Israel is without a husband. He died. And so the house, the natural Jew, is without any form of protection. That's why all hell has broken loose on the nation of Israel since the time that Christ was rejected. See, it has no covering. It has no house. The only covering that a natural Jew has if he comes on into Christianity, because we are now considered the bride of Christ. We have a husband that rules and reigns over our life, whether we like it or not. Hey, amen. He fulfilled that old covenant, that old contract with them. And when he died, he fulfilled it and died. And when in resurrection, he's free now to marry to whoever he wants. Praise God. And yet, a lot of Christians don't understand that. But notice he says, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house. And so it shows that we have a different testimony, a different rule, a different administration altogether. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 13, where we began last week. Romans 13, chapter 13. And a lot of people have always asked me, is this referring to natural authority or spiritual authority? This is referring to authority, period, whether it's spiritual or natural. And it says here, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And in the Greek, the word for powers here is authority. And so we know that authority is ordered of God. When you say ordained, it means ordered. It's ordered of God. Why? Because not everyone will function within the perimeters as they're supposed to function within. Some want to violate that. When you violate those perimeters, then he says here, they don't yield the sword in vain. Are you following what I'm saying? And so here he says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, that means ordained of God, having been ordained of God, resists the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, this is so powerful. I remember years ago reading this. And did you know that there was an inherency within me to fear the law? I never looked at the law as a protector over my life. I always looked at the law as my enemy. Why? Well, it was very simple. Whenever I had problems with the law, it's because I ordered it up. Are you following me? I was guilty as could be. Of course, when you go to jail, everyone's innocent, thank God. Because the first time I went to jail, I'll never forget it. Everybody was in there, shouldn't have been in there, including me. I know what you're saying. First time I went to jail, I was in there 3 days. I hated it. I was 16 years old, and I was just innocently walking across the street on Halloween night, and the cops drove up and seized me, put me in jail. And all the time I was confessing, why are you picking on me? I wasn't doing anything. I just crossed the street. I stepped outside my house. I was just crossing the street. And why are you arresting me? Well, the cops were after a bunch of hoodlums that were going around doing a violation to people's homes and stuff during Halloween night, trick-or-treating, and smearing things over cars and doing all this weird stuff, which I was a part of Just in my mind, I didn't want to admit that. So, I got away from Stan, the local cop, in the north end there. I got away from him. I ditched him. It never dawned on me he knows this by now. And so I'll never forget, I walked down between the back alley, and I was going to go join Richard Whitson and all my friends over in his house, a few blocks away. And Stan just happened to drive up on me, and I said, Stan, all I was doing is leaving my house. He, yeah, right. He says, I know you, Jan. How do you know my name? As if he'd never figure out who we are after a period of living there for 4 or 5 years. So I went to jail and I sat in, and yes, I was innocent. Why? Just walking across the street. After I had violated a whole bunch of cars, and you know, it's weird. You just, you never think you're there because you put yourself there. Tim had to do a stretch, and it finally dawned on Tim when he got out, he was put there because he made himself go there. Nobody else, and I knew there was a change in him once he got out. Some people learn. Tim learned, right? Romans 13, let's go this. That resist shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. It doesn't say nothing about whether the authority was right or wrong. Are you following me? Which is another subject. But I want to share something with you. I want us to go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I need to make some clarification about operating. There's a way you can operate under both powers, both authorities, and succeed. And yes, there is bad authorities, whether people realize it or not. And so how do you deal with even those that are bad? Well, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Go there first. And I got to clarify something so that people understand. There is a difference of being brought under judgment by a supreme authority, one who is in charge, and those who are underscore or under the man in charge as they administer authority. There is a difference. There is a difference. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is where church comes into play that a lot of people don't understand about church. Number one, notice in 2 Peter chapter 2 here, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, notice this, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the desire of uncleanness. In other words, a desire to pollute things or a desire to pollute issues. Are you following me? Because the word uncleanness means one who will pollute anything. Have you ever run across people that no matter how good you get things going, things clicking, things working real good in your life, and it looks like there's daylight at the end of the tunnel, and all of a sudden you draw somebody in that just seems to throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing? People can do that to you. They can throw a monkey wrench. You could be on a Harley Davidson riding along, all the power in the world, and that little wheel that's going around has spokes, and if somebody throws a monkey wrench into that thing, you're going to be all over the freeway. There are some people that are designed to do that, pollute everything in their surroundings. So, right away, chiefly them after the flesh and the desires of the uncleanness, and despise government, and this is a very interesting, follow me real close, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a riling accusation against them before the Lord. Remember when Jude got that revelation by Jesus Christ personally, that there was a contention about the body of Moses. Remember that? Well, you know Jude had to get that revelation from Jesus. He was the only pre-incarnate Christ that would understand something like that. He said there was a war going on over the body of Moses. Satan wanted it for his own reasoning. And he used this example here. He says, even the angels respected Satan in the fact that he does have a realm of authority that was given to him by Adam. And he says, the angel didn't say, hey, I rebuke you, Satan, you idiot, you. I'm an angel of God, and I haven't fallen with the rest of them, so you get the heck out of here. No, it said, the Lord rebuke you. He kept under the right authority where it truly belonged. He said, the Lord's going to rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. He was rebuking Satan under the authority of God and not having disrespect for the authority that Satan stood in. You know, Satan hates it when you operate under proper authority. He hates it because you can get a lot done that way. Your faith will work in a great way for you. Now, notice this. He said here, there's some very interesting words. First of all, he says, despise governments. And this is a very interesting word in the Greek. It is a very rare one. This is the one that Peter uses in another place. And it literally is referring to what we call civil authority. Now, those of you who know something about law would understand civil authority is referring to those that are operating in government. All right? Where the Greek word for supreme authority is a different word. It literally means the one in charge or the master. Are you guys following me? And so, if I am a supreme authority, then what I have to do is I have to set up a government structure for those to operate off my authority. How many understand what I'm talking about? Not me, but those under me operating off of my authority. And that is a word that's used here. It means an under authority, not the supreme authority, but an under authority. And so civil authority is a little different than the supreme authority. It's kind of like in government structure. How many of you know we go to court, the lesser courts in the land, and if we don't get a bill there, make appeal to the Supreme Court, then you have a higher court. Are you following me? The final authority. I mean, when they say it, boom, it's established. It's done deal. Well, that's what he's referring to here, is they despise civil authority. It means the rule of the people. They despise authority that rules the people. Are you following? Not the main guy, the one set in charge to rule the people. That, like a police officer, you know, in the patrol car or something. See, they're not the supreme authority, but they're the government structure of the supreme authority, and they're functioning that way. You follow what I'm saying? And here he says, presumptuous. This is a very interesting word. This means bold and daring in their liberties. They have no concept of authority, so they're bold and daring against authorities. He says, they are self-will. Now, this is very interesting. This word self-will literally means, in the Greek, one who is pleased with themselves. They're only pleased with themselves. They don't care about nobody else. That's why when you set up government structure within the church, a lot of times people don't understand why we even set it up. Because you know what, Jack? You don't live here alone. One area that a lot of people have a hard time with is the music department. We run into this situation, I don't know how many times, about short dresses. You know why we have that authority? Because some people don't know where short dresses begin and end. That's what you call civil authority. We set the rules for the good of all the people, not just yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, who's ever violated that? Well, when you get somebody's up there, and I've had somebody's above the knees means right up here. They just bend over, you'd understand what breakfast is all about. I'm being rude, but that's true. You got to start thinking of somebody else beside yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? You've got to understand that rules are set for the good of all the people, not for the bad of all the people. Because some people don't know how to operate in right authority. If the church is without authority, then you'll find that even those within the church structure are not under authority outside the church. Amen? Now, he says here that they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And the word here means one whose place is in the honor of authority. Now, I want to clarify something here before closing that's important for you to understand. Men use this a lot to control women with. And that is, you are to submit. How many of you women heard that? You are to submit. And usually you'll find the one who's challenging you to submit are the greatest violators of the Word of God there can be. They want you to submit so they can control you because you're out of control. Well, what about people that are under control of the Word of God and you're out of control of the Word of God, oh man? You're out of control of the Word of God and you expect them to submit to you when they don't have no honor over you because you don't do the Word of God? Pastors are great for this. When they get caught doing wrong, they can use the pulpit to ask you to walk in love and grace and mercy. It says when an elder is caught in error, it says it better be by two or three valid witnesses. And if it's so, you know that part where it says right after that, it talks about lay hands on no man suddenly? That's referring to don't be quick to put them back into a position of strength until things have been cleared. Are you following me? That's the reason. And I know a lot of pastors, they're nice men, get caught in stealing money from the church, get caught in adultery, get caught in all kinds of things. First thing to do is go to the pulpit and then preach to the people that they got to walk in forgiveness. But there's a penalty that must be paid for respect of honor of that position as a pastor when you're in this pulpit right here. And people have more respect from a minister who is willing to take correction and then step down for a season until he gets his act back together. It takes time to make change because, listen, when a leader is caught in adultery or in error, a leader is caught there, that means that there's been something going off in his head for a long time that was resident in just the right situation, right time, right circumstances brought it to the surface. And you gotta wait until that person works those things out of them, then you can put your hands back on them and ordain them and get them back into the ministry. And a lot of ministers, they come up with this idea, well, they're just gonna have to walk in love because I'm too much into this ministry thing here, and if I step down, there's just too much at stake. There's too much at stake when you don't step down. Are you following me? What's good for the people is good for the leader. Amen? Now, civil authority is different than judging supreme authority. That's where eldership comes in. If you're an elder, you're not dealing just with the civil authority as a whole. You're dealing with the guy in charge. See, and that has to be clarified. I lost a lot of people because I had to bring one of my ministers to judgment. And I graced him to do it himself, and he refused to come into truth. And I couldn't go back to my congregation, I can now, and say, well, the reason I didn't restore him back, had nothing to do with not loving a person and forgiving him. It was the fact that he has a responsibility as a leader to take his medicine. Are you following me? For the error that he did, so that later on I could put him back in. Is this making sense to you? See, if you don't understand how to operate under authority, a church authority or natural authority, I got news for you. Then you're wasting your time with the Word of God. Because the Word of God operates under the right authority. You know the husband and wife thing? A lot of people get all messed up over this husband and wife thing. The covering, you know, this covering thing. You know, it says that the woman has to be covered by the man and everything. And did you notice it says that when somebody's outside of authority, it says because of the angels? You know, a lot of people wonder what the because of the angels is all about. I'll tell you why. Here it is. If a man or a woman gets out from under the proper authority, it means they're subject to other deities that are out there floating around. They have no idea about, because that kind of mind opens you up, subject. Well, there it happened to pick on the woman. It said if the woman isn't under authority, then where does she stand with the angels? Or because of the angels? Because the Bible says that angels hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And whether you're male or female, if your voice is not under the proper authority of the Word of God, angels will not even hearken to you and minister on your behalf. Because you're outside of the proper authority. How many of you know angels are sent forth to minister to us who are heirs of salvation? Now, this is a difficult passage, but and difficult area to talk about, because we're all faced with authority. I don't care how it is. I never realized how much rebellion was in me to authority with the police department till I was pulled over for a seatbelt thing. Pastor, this wasn't too long ago. Pulled over, didn't have a seatbelt on, and I was working with this Verizon telephone thing, wasn't even plugged in, and the first thing came out of my mouth is, I was distracted, and really, the truth is, I deserved to pay the $101 because I was a liar. You can ask my wife. She always has to beg me to put my seatbelt on. It wasn't that I forgot the seatbelt. It's just that I just didn't want to wear the seatbelt. That bottom line. Now, if I'd have probably turned to her and probably said, yeah, I'm back to my old, you know, not willing to wear my seatbelt thing, she'd probably let me go. But no, I said to her, well, you know, people do forget their seatbelts, you know. She said, yeah, I know. That woman's going to write me up. Here, this will help you. And you know what? It did. Matter of fact, John Shear got caught too. You're not the only one, though. There's a lot of them that are laughing with us because they got caught too. Yeah, amen. Turn over 1 Corinthians 9 in closing. First Corinthians 9. Go to verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law. As under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Now notice this. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. He's saying, I'm an example to the authorities that are in the culture of this world. He says, I'm mindful of them, that I don't break them in the sense of causing a rebellion to go about in them. Are you following me? Yeah. I know this is a difficult subject, but predicated on understanding this about authority is how the Word of God will work for you. And every one of us are guilty of it. I find myself guilty of it all the time. I get out from under the authority of my responsibility before the Lord all the time. Or else I could sit here and say, I've never rebelled against the Lord about having to do anything He asked me to do. And we know that's a lie. Or is that just me? It's a challenge in our life. We've got to realize it is there. It's inherent in the nature of man not to obey authority. That's part of the violation. Now, when we come back next week, we're going to take a look at Adam and Eve. And we're going to take a look at why people violate authority. Can anybody tell me why they violate authority? Is it because they have an independent spirit and they just don't want to obey? No, there's only one reason why people do not follow authority. One reason only. It's a hearing problem. That's all it boils down to, a hearing problem. A hearing problem. Now, isn't that simple? You know, whenever I violate authority, it's because I have a hearing problem. Huh? You don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. But it all boils down to a hearing problem. And guess who had the first hearing problem? Adam. And he had a hearing problem. It says because he was disobedient. Through one man's disobedience. Through one man's disobedience. You know what the Greek word for disobedience is there? A failure to give attention. That's what it means in the word. A failure to give attention. So if a person's disobedience is because he didn't hear it. I work with Billy, and Billy, one thing he always comes back and tells me, did you not hear what I said? If he says that to me one more time, I might get it. Did you hear what I said? Because some of us act like we never heard what they just said. We ought to do that with the Word of God. Did you not hear what I just said? Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to get into some good stuff in this area, because when do you submit and when don't you submit? When is the right time? So forth, so on. These things. I'm glad you asked that question. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. And Father, as we continue on in our understanding of what authority is about, may we get a revelation in our heart. Because it all directly comes back to obeying your word. Regardless of how we look at it, Father, the operation of authority is the same. And if it includes the word of God in our life, we need to know something about it. So everybody stand up. So, Father, as we close this service, if I've spoken to anyone's heart at all concerning this area of authority today, I pray that somehow they get a revelation to deal with this, to deal with this thing, because it's so important to our lives. It's important to how we respond basically to God and His Word. If it didn't come down to that, we'd probably have the hardest time ever if it didn't come down to that. And so, Father, today, as everyone bows their heads, and if you can truthfully say you've never made the transfer into the kingdom of God, you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we can give you the greatest gift possible. That is a gift of life, by coming into the kingdom of God. And then you would have the wisdom that is necessary to handle authority properly. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and you've never been born again and you want to be saved, we want to pray for you. If you're here and you've been out of fellowship with the Lord and you'd like to get back into fellowship, then we want you to restore that fellowship with Him. No matter what the cost, pay it. Hallelujah. To fellowship with Him on an instant basis. And we would like to pray with you. Hallelujah. Lead you into that area. We have ministers here, altar ministers, that will be glad to pray with you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we would love to pray with you for the baptism. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you fit one of those areas, salvation, restoration, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, now is the time to step out and come forward. Anybody? We'll just take just a few minutes. We have some altar ministers here that is willing to work with you. Pray with you. Hallelujah. Anyone? Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you can say, Lord, the word spoke to my heart. I've been having problems with authority. And I don't understand how to function under it, but I'd like prayer. If you're here and you would like prayer because of the message that went forward today to understand things more clear, that's a great step. That's a great start. So if you're here and you'd like to understand it more, would you step out and come forward? Don't hesitate. Anybody? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. We got some eager ones here. I'll tell you what. I'm not going to ask for you guys to come forward on this one because I think all of us need prayer in this area. Every one of us. Don't you? No? Let's all pray. Let's all pray for that instead of having just certain ones come up. Hallelujah. Let's all pray that we work that. Amen. Huh? Oh, yeah. You guys can go back and sit down. You just pray with us. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, girls. Hallelujah. Let's all pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I know the importance of authority. I don't understand it all, but I will, to the best of my ability, function under all authority to the best of my knowledge from this day forward. Even though I don't understand it, I know your wisdom will lead me and guide me to understand it. I want to know authority like David knew it. He respected authority in spite of it. I want that wisdom to operate in me. Because, Father, it directly links me back to your word. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Amen and amen. You receive that? Well, you're dismissed.